Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Langer, that is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. O'Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trent Brower. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Life is good. Soccer may be coming. The Blues with a heart-stopping win. And the big news here in St. Louis, Plowsy is back. Welcome back.
Great to see you guys. Hey, I love the swap.
Is that your first day?
I had no idea you even left.
I didn't even know you left.
I'm glad you're back, Plowsy.
No, I try to go very quietly.
And from what I understand, Andy and Chuck, he comes back with a little bit of a raise, too.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
I'm rejuvenated.
Well, we knew that because he could afford a haircut, man.
I had the real gig, you know, so I had to get the haircut.
People are going to be raised Easter Sunday. Now you got raised on Wednesday.
It's a perfect week to start again. Great to see you, boys.
And in honor of that, Charlie has decided to bring in food to celebrate the return.
We're going
to
celebrate.
I'm hoping that because you bring in the best.
We got great food coming today. Matter of fact, we got a little food for you even, Andy. And you got to eat because, you know, you went there.
Do you really think he'll have a bite?
Ben DiNapoli.
Oh, he'll have a bite.
Yeah, I don't know.
He'll have a bite.
Brian, have you ever seen Andy eat?
No, I don't think I have.
Just throw some bird seed out there.
All right, guys. Chuck, I know you're the hockey analyst on this show. But
yes, indeedy.
Right off the bat, what were you thinking last night?
He wasn't watching.
No, I was on the air, but we kept an update.
He does the overnight show, remember?
We got
an update.
But you let me. We're going to have enough time for you to talk. The show ends at 11, by the way, okay? By the way. Sometimes I feel so nice to jump back. I want to kiss myself when I heard the blues.
You've already used that terminology.
And I'm super bad. Go ahead, get back, old man.
So what do you think?
It was like this. So last night, midway through the game, I said, here we go. The same old damn Blues. And all of a sudden, I said, wait a minute. This ain't the same old Blues again. This is a brand new team. They don't quit because of that damn coach and because of this team. Different analogy. I think they can win this series now. I really do. And you know I'm not going to be be a homer, Andy. I don't get a check from them. Mm-hmm. So
not this professional sports
not
team.
Not this, but other times.
Wait, you now think they can win the series? They were up 2-0 earlier in the series.
I didn't think they could win it then.
Okay.
Because they didn't come back
home. You
know,
the funny thing is, last night may have been Winnipeg's best game. And I really mean that. I mean, you go back to the third period. I know the Blues scored a power play goal early. But they didn't have a whole lot going offensively in the third period. Hardly any scoring chances. You could make the argument that the Braden Schenn goal was maybe their first or second scoring chance of the third period. Winnipeg was playing a perfect game up to that point. Obviously got off to an early lead, but I agree with you. I mean, that's the one thing about the Blues is they don't stop. They keep going. And, you know, Craig Berube made some great changes, some adjustments over the course of the game. I thought inserting
switching in the lines.
Yeah, but it's not just the lines, but it's also Carl Gunnarsson coming into the lineup. And I said this yesterday before the game. I thought this would be huge because of the calmness he brings on the back end. People don't realize how good of a defenseman Carl Gunnarsson is. I know he had some injuries earlier this year, but I was talking to a guy, a coach around the league today, who said Carl Gunnarsson could be a top four on just about any team in the league right now. And he's that good, just in terms, and you look at the way the Blues in games 3 and 4 here in St. Louis, how they played inside their own end. They got hemmed in a lot. They couldn't get clean exits. They needed somebody to calm things down. You know, Berube's adjustment there, sliding Vince Dunn down and moving Gunnarsson up to play with Pietrangelo, was just as big, in my opinion, as the flip-flop with Perron and Schenn. But once he made that adjustment, moving Perron up, all of a sudden that gave some life to Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko and to Braden Schenn, who looked like a nice fit playing with Sundqvist and Jaden Schwartz.
Did he do that because he wanted Perron would be a better mesh and was playing better than Schenn, and he liked what Perron was doing?
100%.
Okay.
I mean, Perron had been playing, you know, okay for the through the first three games, four games of the series. But we all know Braden Schenn didn't find his game. But he found his game midway through yesterday. And he and Jaden Schwartz have a good relationship. They've played a lot together in the past. For whatever reason, he seemed to elevate his game once that adjustment was made as well. Not just the goal, but just the way he was skating and the confidence that he showed with the puck. Didn't have a whole lot of confidence with the puck in the first four games. And David Perron has, you know, had a lot of success, like a lot of players, playing with Ryan O'Reilly. But O'Reilly and Tarasenko need to lead the charge offensively when the opposing team is being led by their best players. And Shifley, Wheeler, Connor, they had been their best players through the first four games of the series. They didn't do a whole lot. In fact, they were held off the score sheet yesterday. I don't think Wheeler had a shot on goal. I think Connor had one. The penalty kill was obviously huge. You know, people talk about special teams all the time, and hockey people will tell you it's not about the power play. It's more about killing penalties. You got to be able to have a strong PK if you want to go deep in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So killing off that double minor was obviously huge, and they had a couple other power plays that they had to kill off as well. So that was a complete team effort. And I'll say this, the Blues have the best goaltender remaining in the tournament right now. He is the best goaltender in terms of how he's playing. There isn't a goaltender in the world right now playing better than Jordan Binnington.
Andy, what you're saying is a lot of people don't think this. A coach is so important in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If you got the wrong coach, maybe he wouldn't have made the right adjustments. Yeah. This guy made the right adjustments at the right time.
And you got to understand, listen, this is new territory for Craig Berube as well. I mean, he's never been in this situation as a head coach before. He's been in the playoffs once before with Philadelphia, but never with a true contender that you find in St. Louis. And I believe they are a contender. I mean, they're playing against arguably the best team in the Western Conference right now in the Winnipeg Jets. People had the Jets picked to win the Stanley Cup coming into the season. You know, this isn't, you know, even a Calgary who led the Pacific Division who find themselves down 3-1 to Colorado right now. I mean, the Blues are playing the most difficult matchup they could have had in the entire Western Conference, and they find themselves up 3-2. But if you look at the support system, the people around Craig Berube, he's got some real smart people around him, okay? Incredibly intelligent people around him, not just on the bench, but also above him. And I think he's got a great support staff. I think he's listening to a lot of people, and it certainly is helping him look very, very smart here in the first round so far.
So if you were to win, if the Blues were to win, and they would face the winner of the Predators and Stars. Mm-hmm. So
I think the Predators are cooked.
Oh, really? Okay, so you think it'd be Dallas. That means it would open here in St. Louis.
I think the Predators are cooked. That's my opinion. I know it's a 2-2 series. They got beat pretty bad in Game 4. I know the series has kind of gone back and forth. I picked Dallas before the playoffs began, and I'm sticking with that right now. I think Nashville is cooked. I think Dallas was playing great hockey down the stretch, Charlie. I'm a big believer in how you're playing entering the playoffs. I like what Jim Montgomery has brought to that team. They have an unbelievable group of young defensemen combined with some veteran players up front who are playing some pretty good hockey right now. But the way they're defending and the way they're playing, and Ben Bishop is the equalizer. If the real Ben Bishop shows up in Game 5, okay, like the Ben Bishop that we saw in Game 4, not the Bishop we saw in Game 3 where it was one of his worst playoff games you're ever going to see him play, and I knew that he would show up and rebound and respond in Game 4 the way that he did. If he stays locked in, there's no way Nashville is beating the Dallas Stars. Probably a tougher matchup for the Blues to play Dallas when you look at their head-to-head matchups over the course of the regular season, but certainly a beatable opponent, and the Blues would have home ice advantage in that series as well.
Yeah, now if that series went to 7, and that's Game 7 is on a Wednesday, so the earliest this next round could start would be next Friday if the Blues advance.
Correct.
Boy, that'd be some nice, time off for the squad.
Yeah, sometimes time off isn't the best thing. You know, obviously, if you're dealing with injuries and whatever, you'd like to have some time to regroup and get some guys healthy. But, hey, when you're feeling it and you're confident and you have that momentum going your way, sometimes the last thing you want is just to sit around and watch some hockey. You'd rather be on the ice playing. But we'll see if this thing goes 7. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended in 6.
Did you give up before they scored the 3?
No, man, because...
Oh, he was tweeting season's over. I heard so. Right, now, how about this? Historical perspective. Monday Night Miracle is still number one. Mm-hmm. Is this top 2 or 3? Like, you got the Mike Crombie goal.
Yeah.
It would have to be top 3. I mean, if you're down If you score three goals in the third period on the road.
If you score a game-winning goal.
With 15 seconds.
With 15 seconds left on the road, and you score three third-period goals to win the game after being down 2-0, and, you know, they were down 1-0 12 seconds into the game. I mean, just before you could blink, they were down 1-0, and then obviously Kevin Hayes scores to make it 2-0. Kevin Hayes could have had three or four goals.
Boy,
he could have had three or four goals. I mean, he had that one that trickled behind Bennington. He kept it behind.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
So that's when you know the hockey gods are on your side. And then the hockey gods are on your side. You just watch the whole play develop on Jaden Schwartz's goal. I mean, Jacob Trouba, the defenseman for Winnipeg, I don't know what he was thinking trying to eat the puck with 20-plus seconds left. That obviously worked in the Blues' advantage. He was trying to freeze the puck along the boards, just letting the time click off. It's not like there were 6-7 seconds left, so obviously not very smart. But then it's the second and third effort that you would expect. Oscar Sundquist changes. Alexander Steen comes out, makes a good play along the wall, and just an intelligent play by Tyler Bozak, who wouldn't be on the ice if Braden Schenn didn't have a skate issue. So, again, the hockey gods are on your side, and Tyler Bozak, a veteran player, he just throws it to the front of the net. I mean, listen, I'm going to give him credit, but the puck was elevated. I think he's just looking to get the puck to the front of the net, and unreal hand-eye coordination. Listen, people don't realize how difficult that is because that puck's coming with a little bit of steam, too, and for Jaden Schwartz to be able to not only get a stick on it, but to be able to direct it in the goal takes a lot of skill, a lot of talent. And I feel good for Jaden Schwartz as well, because Jaden Schwartz, things haven't been going well for him, not just here in the playoffs, but all season long. And for him to score a big goal, you need those type of players who are playing big minutes. These are guys who are in your top six forwards. I mean, he's on your second line. He's out there a lot. You need these guys at some point to come through offensively, and they pick the right time.
You use that analogy a lot in most sports. When the hockey guys or any guys are on your side, and it's your year, the game last night solidified the Blues' entire season to me. This is what this team is made up about, and I think it could be their year. I really do.
What symbolized, you mean?
Well, just in fact that the fact that they were buried in January, and all of a sudden, I mean, last in the league.
You never buried them. I'm going to give you credit. No, I know your association with them, similar association I have with the Rams, but you didn't bury them, and you could have smoothed it out, but you didn't.
Yeah, I buried the Rams, though, a long time ago.
Well, you don't have what I've got.
When they were here. No. So Stan actually won something this week.
He gets to keep the rights to sell them.
The difference is between Charlie and me, I don't own a Rams leather jacket like he does.
I don't own a leather jacket either. Frank gave his away.
Your bumper sticker. That
no, that's my license plate.
License plate frame.
They said, "How about that?"
But did you use it on the Porsche that it said Rams?
No, I got the license plate frame. No, that frame stays.
The frame stays.
You want one?
No.
But I think you're right. But I think you're right though, just in terms of where the Blues were at. Listen, talking to John Cooper earlier in the year, long before they came to St. Louis, and when the Blues were buried last in the league, I know John Cooper just lost in four straight, maybe not the best example to use, but his team did have a historic season and, you know, one of the best regular seasons in the history of the game. He said there's so much runway left, and nobody was taking over in the Central Division. Nobody was. I mean, so even when they were struggling last in the league, I mean, they never really got that far behind where it was unrealistic that they could come back and all of a sudden find themselves back in a playoff position. They were always hovering around nine points back. So, listen, that's makeable ground to make up. And, you know, all of a sudden they get on that 11-game winning streak and they find themselves back in position. They never look back.
One thing was happening, though, even when they were playing really bad, the opposing players from the other teams were saying, wait a minute, what's wrong with this team?
I said that over and over. I mean, Kevin Shattenkirk tells me a great story when he's on the bus with the New York Rangers and they're driving to the rink and they're going over the Blues roster. And I've told Doug Armstrong this story. I've said it numerous times now. And the players from the New York Rangers are like, man, this team should be unbelievable. Where is the disconnect between the St. Louis Blues that has them sitting in last place when you look at the roster? But you know what Doug Armstrong has done? He's completely transformed this roster over the last couple of years. When you look at not just O'Reilly, not just Bozak, Perron, Maroon, but it's Sundquist, it's Schenn. I mean, all these guys that have come in and have basically now the core group of players. I mean, the players who were here before, the Tarasenkos of the world, obviously these guys are still a big part. Tarasenko's still their most dangerous offensive player. But how big they are defensively, how well they defend. I mean, it may have taken a year or two, but he's completely transformed this roster, and he deserves a lot of credit for that.
With the exception of maybe Bouwmeester, who's been good, almost everybody is right in the primes of their career or not just approaching their primes. I mean, this is kind of a young roster that's built for years. So
you know, one other thing, too. The one guy that got trashed by me, by people, and he hung in there. I'm paying attention. Doug Armstrong. Mm-hmm. He hung in there, and look what's happening now. Look what suffice right now. And the future is great for the Blues, whether we win or not, but I think we're going to do it.
Well, and Jordan Binnington, I didn't mention that.
Yeah, we got to mention it. And the coaching change, too.
The coaching change was...
The key?
It was the key. I mean, it was absolutely the key. And not just firing Mike Yeo and bringing in Craig Berube, but also putting Steve Ott on the bench. Steve Ott doesn't get enough credit. I didn't know how good of a coach he'd be. I always knew he was extremely intelligent. When he was a player, you talked to him, he sounded like a coach. He had great respect inside the dressing room. But there's something to be said for guys who have that level of credibility as a player to be on the bench and the impact they can have as an assistant coach. Man, this guy deserves a lot of credit.
How did Craig Berube get his assistant coaching job here?
Well, I mean, was an assistant for a long time in Philadelphia.
Did Yo bring him or the Blues brought him?
No, the Blues brought him to Chicago to coach their American League team, and then the Blues lost that affiliation that they had, that agreement they had with the Chicago Wolves, and he was the head coach. Well, Chicago made a change. They wanted to bring in their guy. Obviously, Vegas was now the affiliation with Chicago, so they wanted to decide who the head coach was, and I thought it was a wise move by Doug Armstrong to bring him up to the NHL and make him an assistant coach. I mean, this guy's played over 1,000 games. I keep saying this. Don't confuse his hockey card, what you see on the back, the penalty minutes and whatever, for his intelligence level as a hockey guy. This guy is super, super smart as a hockey guy, even though he played the game as a tough guy. But he played over 1,000 games. How many tough guys who played his role?
You're talking Berube?
Yes, in NHL history, stuck around as long as he did and played over 1,000 games.
What's fascinating with Berube, in most sports, NFL, basketball, the head coach picks his assistants because you don't want them looking over your shoulder. But Yo didn't pick Berube to come here. The Blues Armstrong did.
Well, I'm sure they had a conversation, but you know what? This coaching staff is very close. Specifically Ott and Berube. They hang out a lot away from the rink, and they did when they were assistant coaches too. I mean, so they're just on the same page. And I know it's easy to say now because the team won last night and whatever. Maybe we're not having this conversation if the Blues don't win last night.
Right. Okay, let's talk about something else.
But at the end of the day, things are working. Now you got to find a way to win a home game, though, man. You don't want to go back there for game 7.
All right, we're going to take a short time out. When we come back, we'll talk about the MLS soccer story happening in the St. Louis area. Yeah. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive prices. Lakeside Roofing features the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Dr. Michael Jones is the official eye surgeon of this program, 855-260-EYES, longtime friend of this show, and he's regarded as one of the great surgeons in the country. He does that LASIK surgery where your eyes are fixed in 11 seconds, no glasses, no contacts forever. He is the best at what he does. He did my eyes, Alex's eyes, our chef's eyes at Kimo's, my friend Trip Straub's eyes. Everybody he touches, he turns just perfect eyesight into. 855-260-EYES, Dr. Michael Jones. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.